Call this meeting of the Lincoln County Board of Commissioners to order. It is Wednesday, April 11th, and it's about 6:50 p.m., and we are here in the Depot Bay City Council Chambers. And first item on our agenda is to establish a quorum. We have all three commissioners present. Next item is the adoption of the consent calendar, and we have one item to remove from the consent calendar. That would be item G. It's not numbered, but it would be numbered number four, and that is the memorandum of bid award for the Ekman Creek Culvert replacement. Terms $724,913.12. We're going to remove that from the consent calendar and move it to a discussion and information item. And with that, I'll staff or commissioners may comment on these items that are of a routine nature or items that have come before us before.
Mr. Chair, I would move for approval of the consent calendar with the exception of the memorandum of bid award Ekman Creek Culvert replacement.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. All right. The next item on our agenda is the discussion and information item on a memorandum of bid award for Ekman Creek Culvert replacement. I believe that's Director King.
From last to first, like
that. Try to keep things moving. Yeah. Just like our roads, right?
Yeah. I'm Roy Kenyon. I'm the Public Works Director for Lincoln County. Back in December of 2015, we had a little bit of rain, caused a little bit of damage. We got a federal declaration, a disaster declaration, so that we qualified for FEMA money from repairs. We finally, as of this year, got all our ducks in a row. We had a bid opening on March 28th to take bids for the actual replacement of what was the existing culvert, and now will soon be a precast concrete arch. A little bit of history here is it took so long to get where we're at today, mostly because whenever you take federal money, you have to meet federal regulations. And that kind of tends to lengthen the process out just a little bit. We got all of our approval. At one time, I had actually considered not taking the federal funding, hoping that it would streamline the process. But with FEMA money, FEMA picks up 75% of the cost. The county will pick up 25% of that. I didn't feel like at the time that we could actually get the project completed for that 25% it would cost us. And so we ran it for the long haul. The project is, if you award a bid, is scheduled to start in July. We're looking at about a 3-week project. Hopefully then we have a structure that gives us about 100 years worth of longevity. It'll last long. The concrete arch will last longer than the road does, so we'll be in good shape for a period of time. Low bid on this project was JRT Construction out of Oakland, Oregon. I actually had to look up where Oakland was. It is just north of Roseburg. The engineer's estimate for this project was, I have to put my glasses on. Was $668,331. Low bid was $724,913. This is a little more than our engineer's estimate, but for whatever reason, there was a big variance in actually the cost of the precast concrete arch. Even though you would think that you would go up, buy this thing off the shelf and it would cost the same for everybody, that's not the way it calculated out for the contractors. I think they were taking into account certain risk with moving of these large pieces and the placement of these large pieces. And so it was the one item within the whole bid that varied greatly. It actually varied from $322,000 to $400,000 depending on the contractor. And so that was what created the difference in the estimates. So I'm here asking the board to approve this bid so that we can contact a contractor and get this thing rolling.
Is this a motion?
No, if there's a consensus, we'll move it forward and get place an order for you on the next agenda.
I have one question, though. And I guess my question is, why do we end up with a concrete arch that's going to last longer than the road? I mean, to me, that says it's going to cost more than a...
Yes, actually, there again, it has to do with federal requirements. And the culvert that was there was a 12-foot steel culvert. And by the time we got done with the engineering portion of this project, we end up with an arch that was 32 feet wide. And that is due to the fact that you take what is called the basic natural channel width, and as a federal project, you have to go 1.5 times wider than the natural channel width. Well, because the damage that was done in this stretch of stream during this storm and the subsequent failure of the road, the stream that the federal government was using was actually wider than what the natural stream had been. And so it just kind of added it exponentially to the project. We were almost to the point of where we were almost to the point of the bridge, but not quite. And plus this precast concrete arch we can do for about 20% of the price of a bridge there. So that's kind of how it grew. It really grew once we got into the process, the permitting process, and that's what we ended up working.
Questions, Commissioner?
No, I'm comfortable with moving it ahead to consent.
Consent calendar next week. Okay.
One final question.
Sure.
There was a problem down in Walpole where some of the people were worried about having the road shut down. Did we get all that solved?
No. Well, yes and no. I have talked to several residents that live upstream from this project. I have informed them that as soon as we actually have an opportunity to sit down with the contractor and find out exactly what his timeline is on this project, I'm going to have a meeting with those folks and tell them basically what to expect. We have arranged for a detour out the back end of Bethlehem Creek Road. There's a Forest Service Road that connects into 101 South of Walport. It is a little bit longer than going to Ekman 34 into Walport, but the Forest Service has agreed to do some preliminary work on it, add some turnouts, do a little rocking. We actually added a line in the contract to require the contractor to actually do additional work to the road with some brush cutting and some siding. And so they will have a way out. What the concern was is that the engineers forecasted a 3-week closure to the road.
Yep.
And you know, it is what it is. There isn't, unfortunately, we have a 90-foot flat car bridge sitting just down the road, but there isn't any place to put it as a temporary bridge. The alignment just does not work on either side of this thing. And if we were to try to put the bridge in somewhere close to the project, then it greatly reduces the length and the cost of the project. And so my answer to your question is I have agreed to sit down and talk with everybody, listen to their concerns, and do my best to try to put them at ease instead of this thing. It's going to go as quickly as it can, and we've done everything we can to provide them with an adequate detour. That's all.
Any other questions?
All right.
Come back to the consent item next week. All right. We'll move on to reports, and we have a report to not only the Board of Commissioners, but the Fair Board of a revised draft facilities plan. And I'll just recognize the Fair Board members. We have Frank Geltner and then Jim Weissman, and Commissioner Hall serves a dual purpose as a Fair Board member in addition to being a commissioner. So it's an opportunity for both boards to hear this report. And with that, I'll turn it over to my presenters.
Wayne, did you want to say anything before we begin?
No, go ahead and just
start. Okay. Chair Hunt, Commissioners, Fair Board members, thank you very much for the time to report to you on the Lincoln County Commons master plan process thus far. My name is Steve Faust. I work for a firm called 3J Consulting, a land use and civil engineering firm. And with me is Gail Sargent from LRS Architects. And I apologize that I realize some people can't see the screen here, but we'll try to paint pictures with our words here. Just for some context, some background, which you're aware of, but not everyone might not be, the County and Fair Board have identified a multi-use public facility that will provide a venue for a wide range of activities throughout the year that would not compete with existing hotels and convention spaces in Lincoln County Commons. Funding has been secured through a 2007 transient lodging tax increase approved by voters, 2016 increase of 1% approved by voters for fairground redevelopment. I'm sorry, the first one was for capital investments, the 2007 one, 2016 1% for fairgrounds redevelopment. The City of Newport Urban Renewal Plan, I believe the North Side Urban Renewal Plan, identifies up to $3 million in utility, road, and off-site infrastructure upgrades. And then event fees and leases have been approximately $28,000 a year for commons operations. Vision and mission statement for the commons. The vision is to see the Lincoln County Commons, formerly the Lincoln County Fairgrounds, become an important gathering place for Lincoln County. Mission, to offer a variety of venues which will make the Lincoln County Commons a preferred destination for residents and visitors. Here is our proposed timeline. We've been working on, we have finished the opportunities and constraints element of our work and are now, and have submitted a draft facilities plan. In March, we held a meeting with the Master Plan Vision Committee. We're here meeting with you today, and towards the end of April, or it's looking like early May, we'll be holding three public meetings in different areas in the county to get as much community input as we can. So the first thing, as I mentioned, that we did was look at existing conditions on the fairgrounds. And what we heard in general, or what we found in terms of the structural condition of the facilities, and in speaking to a number of stakeholders, we came out for 2 days and talked to a number of folks, and to the our Master Plan Vision Committee, was that a lot of the facilities are not in very good condition, and some need to be torn down. And we heard that no one has any strong opinions about keeping any of those facilities. So basically we were told you're kind of dealing with a blank slate when you're looking at this property. And from those many conversations and an online survey, we got a lot of feedback on what the community's desires are for facilities on the site. And Gail is gonna talk a bit about what we heard.
We've guessed at a size. Nobody really had a size for us, but the main element was a multi-use building to be able to house all many different types of activities and larger meetings than what happens at a hotel. Basically, bring in all kinds of stuff, and that would include exhibit space, if you will, that could be used as well during fair for fair exhibits, kitchen facilities, possibly breakout rooms. So if someone was having a large meeting of the, attorneys in the state or whatever kind of group, there's some large space and some smaller spaces, paved parking, bike parking, off-street storage, restrooms, and off-street loading, storage, restrooms, and an office facility to manage the facility. Management seemed to be a really key element that was brought up of needing to ensure that we have professional management to keep it full.
There was some interest in talking with some of the emergency services personnel and seeing how feasible it was to have this building also serve as an emergency shelter. And in an appendix of our report, we included some preliminary costs on what that would look like.
So the second facility that was seen as desirable was a covered open-air pavilion. So something similar to what the arena is now, an earth floor that could be used for animal events, could be used for the monster truck pulls, that kind of thing, but it would be protected from the rain so it's usable year-round and you're not playing in the mud. And parts of that would need to be wind-protected, so we're envisioning that would be some exterior walls, probably restrooms and concessions as well, and storage was again a really big feature requirement. Movable livestock pen panels, bleachers, that kind of thing, to have a place to store that stuff off season when it's not being used. The a 4-H facility is something that was kind of in flex. Nobody said, hey, we have to have a 4-H training building on the site. There's a lot, but 4-H needed to be accommodated on the site somehow. In terms of, obviously during fair, there's going to be exhibitors and maybe some office space, maybe some classroom space that could be used by different 4-H groups. So the one building that we identified here in the picture is the existing floral building, which is currently the thrift shop, or was the last time we saw it. I think it's still in there. Yeah. And that building is in decent shape and might be an appropriate size. About half the building is already finished. So this was one we suggested could be retained and reused if it doesn't conflict too much with how else the site needs to be laid out.
Right. The other option was possibly to accommodate that within the multi-use building.
The other thing that we talked about was having some hard surface, just outdoor space that was partially semi-hard surface. I mean, we show there some concrete pavers. Could just be really well compacted gravel, but something that drains and is not grass and mud, so that even in a rainy season, you could set up tents on it and have a pretty reasonable space that would allow you to have So between a totally enclosed building, a covered open-air building, and then just open space with some hard surface that could also be used as overflow parking, that seemed to accommodate the different types of events and facilities that we heard people were wanting. And then everybody wanted open area and grass and kid space. A lot of it had to do with a lot of people requested playgrounds, ball fields, and honestly the site's probably not big enough for real ball fields, but outdoor space seemed to be a really key feature as well, green space. We just asked ourselves the question, so what are we removing that we aren't putting back? And horse boarding came up a couple of times. It's currently done on the site, but had been in the past. And we're not, the plan, nothing, nobody recommended that we go back with that, so no horse boarding is included in the plan as we've seen it so far. No permanent RV parking, that's not really something we're removing, but maybe developing some temporary RV spots around that are used during her times, but not providing a specific spot on site that is designated RV parking. And then the animal shelter was another key piece. And the building itself is in very poor condition, and the location has not been ideal for them, according to the folks who are running it. Noise from the fair and things troubles the animals, and they really would like a place that's a little more out of town and quieter and some better facilities. So yeah.
And we've heard that location is a possibility for some sort of combined transit and emergency services facility.
Kind of an expansion of the county's facilities, buildings that are there on site already. Parking requirements, when you build a new building, I mean, you know, fairgrounds, and it's just once in a while, you kind of let people park wherever, but when we build a new building, city ordinances require you to provide parking for that. And so we just ran some rough numbers, and we don't know what the size of the building is for sure, but it's all based on how many people are going to be there, how many cars are going to be there. So we came up with some typical parking requirements for buildings of a specific size. So what we've shown there is a 25,000 square foot event center and a 25,000 foot square foot pavilion. Comes down to about 257 spots for the event center at that size. If it's larger, it's more. If it's smaller, it's less. Obviously, the pavilion's got a little less because of the earth space, the dirt floor, it's considered more of an animal space. And so then we're going to start counting bleacher bodies. And this is totally a guess. We just kind of made a rough estimate of how many people can you sit on bleachers there and how many might you have, and came up with another 100 spaces required. So we had several site alternatives that were presented at the last meeting, and we're kind of backing off that tonight. But we looked at what could be accommodated on site, and we come up with a total of about 592, almost 600 spots that could be accommodated on site. Whether or not you want that much paved, we're hoping that some coordination with the city would tell us that we don't have to provide for parking for the pavilion and the event center building or the multipurpose building at the same time. Perhaps we do for the larger facility and we use some overflow space, that we weren't anticipating that both of those things would be full with a full occupant load at the same time. So these are negotiable things, just kind of showing you that we could accommodate it on site.
We've reached out to the planning director at the City of Newport and for some guidance on what the city might be willing to accept in terms of required parking spaces, since it's a unique circumstance. And you also have the high school right next door, which those parking lots are used at times for fair grounds events as well. Some circulation and parking considerations just that we identified. We talked about how US 20 and Hardy Street is really the preferred route for people to access the commons, and so we would recommend looking to move wayfinding signage for the commons to the US 101, US 20 intersection so that people aren't driving up through neighborhoods to get to the site. Locating most or all fair events and facilities on the primary site, and during fair time, keeping Northeast Harmony Street open to traffic. The high school, we know, is used as a primary parking area during fair week. Middle school and Newport prep parking areas for shuttle service during the fair, that we recommend continuing those practices. And then really publicizing pedestrian and bicycle routes, considering financial incentives for people who walk or bike to the fair, free ice cream cone, something like that, offering free public transit. I know we hope that one day there's a, possibly in conjunction with that, with the new transit facility, there might be a stop right there at the site so that people, it's easy for people to take the bus to get there. We had a noise consultant kind of look at the areas surrounding the common site, residential areas, two schools, and come up.
Our site is right here.
So you've got some residential areas, some schools, and a commercial industrial area. And so as we move towards a design for the common site, we want to be thinking about noise levels and how where facilities are located, like the open air facility, and how noise may or may not impact those surrounding uses.
Particularly residential.
Yeah. And so after we heard from the community that, okay, we really want these elements that Gail mentioned, the multi-purpose building, the pavilion, some hardscape area and some grassy area, we started on two tracks. Gail and her group started looking at possible site configurations, and at the same time we started looking at, well, what is the market feasibility of those facilities relative to the amount of funds that the county's identified that they have to pay for these things. And Gail, do you want to say, I mean, we had three alternatives, but we realized in meeting with the Master Plan Vision Committee that maybe site configuration, we got a little too far ahead of ourselves, and what we really want to do is land on what the facilities are going to be and then move on to a little bit more about site configuration. But
This is really just an exercise in showing you how much site coverage it takes to do all the things that we've just talked about. So the pink box at the bottom, the pink box at the bottom here is 33,000 square foot multi-purpose building. So that would include a big room of about 20,000 square feet and then the other facilities we talked about that would go with it. And then up here is, we're looking at the brown square is covered pavilion. That would be our substitute for the open-air arena. This would be the roofed structure that would cover that. This is shown at about 30,000 square feet. Again, we just guessed some sizes. And then the gray that you see around the perimeter is that, and the gray over here on the east side of Harney is the nearly 600 parking stalls that we could fit, but that's what it takes to fit them on there. And that's why we said we're really looking at negotiating with the city for how we might minimize that number a bit and hopefully carve out more green space on the site. Now, the box in the north here is basically another parking area. Maybe that was gravel instead of paved for trailers and the kind of vehicles that need to come in to service animal events and things that might go on in that pavilion area. And we have loading area behind the multi-purpose building. And this little box here is where we designate, that's a floral building now, which we've designated as possibly for 4-H use. And then in between the two buildings, we were looking at some of that hard surface space where each building could overflow into that and use that space connected. But this really isn't so much a plan as it is just to show you the areas that we're looking at. So obviously, if we shrink the pink or the brown box, we also shrink the paving that goes with it and give you some more open space. So just kind of a place to start so you have something to think about what can we really fit on that site.
We also heard a lot from the community about taking advantage of this corner here at Harney and Third as some sort of gateway or welcoming feature. You have arrived at the Commons, so we haven't identified what that might be, but we just have a placeholder there, whether it's a plaza or just signage or...
flag, signage, plaza, playground, equipment, something to climb on.
I was going to say a statue of Mr. Beisman.
That's probably it.
We want to attract people.
That would be my point, Commissioner.
Yeah, okay.
So as I mentioned, at the same time we were looking at site design, we were looking at a market assessment. Here's some numbers on operations, existing sources of funding, about $15,300.
This is annual, right?
Annual, yes. Potential new uses, so we were looking at, okay, if this was built, what type of events might it attract, what can you expect? We had to use a range there because, you know, we don't know exactly, but anywhere from about $94,000 to $254,000. So that gives you, I mean, there's a pretty big range here, but from $110,000 to $270,000. And we believe that the county fair is essentially a neutral, net neutral cost. Expenditures for employees, anywhere from, depending on how fully staffed the fair and the commons is, $86,000 to $196,000. Other miscellaneous types of expenditures, $88,000 to $150,000. And so reasonable, you know, ranges, so depending on how much use the facility gets in terms of outside events, we have some ranges of operating costs. If it's getting low use, because the more events you bring in, it brings in more money, but it also requires more staff and more costs. So the low use scenario looks at operating costs of $170,000 to $190,000. The medium use, $260,000 to $295,000. And high use, $320,000 to $380,000.
Could I ask a couple of questions, please? So these scenarios, and I understand you really had to do some estimating because, you know, the facility has been in poor condition for a long time. It hasn't had professional management for 10 years. But in these range of scenarios, like how many days a year, for example, or how many events per year, can you give us a sense of what you use to come up with these projections?
Yeah, Gil, you have a plan on you, because I believe.
And then also, while you're pulling out that information, maybe I could ask the second related question is, did you take into account in this thinking at all the idea of, like, perhaps selling naming rights on the exhibition hall, other kinds of sponsorships or marketing opportunities?
I don't believe so. We have Echo Northwest is our economist on the project. I don't believe that they looked at any of those types of things. We can certainly loop back and ask them to comment on the feasibility of those types of things. So that's the best I can do. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to comment. I think you answered the question I had. LSR architects are really designed with the architecture of the building, if you will, or the buildings, the site. But Eco Northwest was, I mean, they're the consultants, they're the specialists as far as looking at what kind of revenues, what kind of demand is there for this kind of facility, and therefore they're kind of they are the consultants that have provided the financial aspects of this.
That is correct.
And just to kind of expound on that a bit more, LRS has done these type of facilities in a number of areas around the state. In fact, most of the counties around the state.
Douglas County, didn't you?
Not when I was involved with it, but the expansion of Douglas County.
So what it kind of comes down to is
that there's different types of shows that move around, and they to attract a certain type of show, you have to be a certain size, or it's not worth the promoter's time to do it, and they don't make any money on it. So the bigger you build, the different kind of shows, but then they also go back to what your community can support and what the tourist industry can support. So there's kind of a trade-off on that, and since it's kind of an unknown, hasn't been done here yet, that's why the ranges are so high.
All right.
To answer your first question, their estimates assume that, first of all, that the 27 existing events would continue to occur at the Commons. Large events, 1 to 3 per year. These events would be multi-day that would rent the Commons for facility for a full 5 days, including setup and takedown, and would likely require the full pavilion as well. Mid-size events, 6 to 16 per year. This would take the Commons facility for 3 days, including setup and takedown, and possibly a portion of the pavilion as well. Small events, 15 to 40 small events per year. They would require about half the exhibition space for a day and a half or so. Small events would be like small retail shows, musical events, small retail events. I neglected to say what some examples of the large and medium. Large would, events would include large festivals, a home show, RV or boat show, heavy equipment, car shows, things like that. Medium shows would be, or medium events would be gem show, gun show, quilt or craft show, mid-sized festivals and concerts, horse or animal-related events. And then I mentioned the small ones. And then, of course,
if I may,
yes.
I think there's a distinction there, or some information there that took me a while to realize. And when you start talking about attracting those type of events or organizations, it's really a different, it's not tourism. These aren't people that are coming to the coast to see the ocean, to enjoy the sunset, but they're people that are attracted to come here to hold an event, a conference, and they find the environment favorable. So these, as I see it, these are new people, if you will, a new type of organization that would be coming here and bringing their economic benefit to the area, but it's not necessarily more tourists.
Right, yeah, it's not the folks who are coming to play in the ocean, but they like to do their medical conference someplace that's fun that they can go out to eat at a nice place,
sure.
You know?
Yeah. My wife's into genealogy, and I can see a bunch of genealogists.
Yeah, well, there's all kinds of organizations.
Yeah, things you'd never imagine.
Exactly. But again, I think it's a different mix of people that would be coming to the area.
Yeah, a conference of county government officials from around. I mean, those kind of groups are all over the place. You know, there's every entity that you have has that kind of, you know, annual conference.
The final category that they have here is private events. 10 to 20 private events per year. They would require about a third of the exhibition space, and would be about one, would rent it for 1 day. This is like banquets, auctions, holiday parties, things of that nature. So the market assessment on operational feasibility, without the extra sources of funding that we mentioned earlier, the facility would operate at a deficit. At the low use scenario, about $64,000 per year. Medium use, $82,000 per year. High use, $77,000 per year. Again, it doesn't just go up because more events and larger events require more staff. And that's why it kind of goes back down for high use. But as mentioned earlier, the county can close that operational deficit using the funds, the TLT funds that we talked about earlier. So now in terms of...
Excuse me, but it's also important to note that at least I'll speak for myself, but I think all the three of us recognize that now, these types of facilities require some kind of a subsidy throughout the state. In fact, the only one that I'm aware of that breaks even is the one in Salem, which is next to the Grand Hotel. And they basically manage it and fill it through the ability to attract people through their booking of rooms and that sort of thing. So, you know, when you say there's a subsidy, it's not like, you know, this is unique as far as these types of facilities. And yet, there's certainly, at least in my opinion, a lot of benefit that can be derived, and there is, as you noted, a revenue source that can bridge that gap.
Yeah, and I think Gail might want to speak to that as well, but I think that's right. I think most of the communities that invest in facilities like this, they do it for two reasons. One, it brings economic benefits to hotels and restaurants, other economic benefits that spread out.
Jobs.
Jobs, And also, there's a civic purpose there that some, you know, community, it's a gathering place for their community, so.
Kind of like a Parks and Rec district or something like that, or your public swimming pool. And I bring that up only because we heard an awful lot of comment when we did stakeholder meetings of the locals needing a place inexpensive for groups to meet. And so those are the things that probably you aren't going to make any money on, but it is a benefit to the community.
The other thing we learned was that...
I would hope that, you know, we're going to hear from a lot of people today, but I'd like to hope that somewhere in our process we can translate those dollars into benefits to Lincoln County residents.
Okay.
In other words, instead of just treating it as money lost, but what can we give back to the citizens of Lincoln County through the amenities that we provide?
Hotel rooms rented all week long and not just on Friday.
No, I mean actually use of the commons.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a lot of folks talking about classroom space and culinary classes and all kinds of training opportunities and different things.
We also know that some of the larger events or even the medium events, those take years to kind of cultivate relationships and attract those. You need to get a few, and then word spreads about what a great place it is to have your event, and so it takes some time, and so there's certainly going to be the local events will help sustain that building over time. So in terms of capital costs, if we look at the community, what we call the community vision, what we heard from community members, which was what Gail described earlier with the multi-use building, the pavilion, and the hardscape and the grassy areas, that's the highest cost scenario at about $16 million. The multi-use facility building at 33,000 square feet, we estimated about $10 million. The pavilion at that size at $3 million. Other site work would cost about $1 million, and then architecture and engineering fees and permits, you'd be looking at about $2 million. So if you subtract the fair facility fund of $2.75 million from that, then you have about $13.25 million that would need to be financed. And again, this does not include that the $3 million in urban renewal funds that's possible from the city of Newport. So if you did a 20-year bond, that would result in an annual debt payment of $638,000 per year. It would be $1,060,000 per year less the $425,000 per year in TLT revenue. You land at $638,000 per year. And then we estimate maintenance costs at 1-3% per year, so that's $16,000 to $48,000 per year. So that's, you know, what we heard from the community. That's on the high cost side of things. So we said, well, what if we go down to the very low end of things? So this assumes basically a multi-use building that sits on the footprint of the existing exhibition center or main hall, and so that's about 15,000 square feet. The other, you know, no pavilion, just other site work and permits and fees, you're looking at half the total from before. You're looking at $8 million for the site. Minus, again, the $2.75 million in the Fair Facility Fund, that means you'd have $5.25 million to finance. And again, doing the math of annual debt payment of $340,000, we looked at, to lower costs even further, we said, what if it was a 30-year bond versus a 20-year bond? Your annual payment, $340,000 minus that, but you have $425,000 a year coming in TLT revenue. There you have a surplus of $85,000 per year. And again, maintenance fees of somewhere $8,000 to $24,000 per year. So what you have is, what's that?
No pavilion.
Yeah, there's no pavilion yet in this scenario. So what you have is a range of, on the high end, you've got this building and this facility, but you have a deficit you have to cover. On the low end, where you have a smaller multi-use building and no pavilion, you actually have the money to do this over the 30-year period and probably even over the 20-year period. I don't have those numbers with me. So the question to be decided is, where do we land with what you all and what the community want in terms of facilities? Is it at one of the extremes, or is it more likely somewhere in between? And with that, I mean, we have a lot of people here tonight. We look forward to hearing from them, but questions?
Well, yes, I have a question. As I remember the schematic with the maximums, if you will, and now we're talking about the other end, the minimums, if you will, it's certainly, correct me if I'm wrong, but you could have a multi-use building built, and then later you could build a pavilion. I mean, so you could develop structures in phases. I suppose you could also build a building of 15,000 square foot and design the possibility of expanding it to 25,000, an additional 10,000. So there would be some flexibility in those structures and when they might be built.
Certainly it could be, and it's just really up to you guys to decide how you'd like to proceed with that.
Part of the equation.
And so maybe, a multi-use facility which is what, has been asked for, is done in the shorter term, and once that's all paid off, then you look to do the pavilion, or maybe new funds come in for a pavilion. Certainly phasing can be a part of discussion.
Any questions, comments?
I just was curious, on that larger plan, what was the clearance under the pavilion, roughly?
We haven't. We just looked at what the steel structure is. It's gonna. The amount of roof covering we have to do. I don't care what height you want it at.
Okay.
Within reason, it's not. That's not going to affect that cost.
Okay.
We didn't design anything yet. We typically look at about a 30-foot clear height as being necessary for what you need to do.
Okay. So our next step is, I guess,
Commissioners, if I can, for the record, just a note, we received some written materials which will be placed in the record, and we'll also post those on the website. We have a letter from Fran Rett, an email from Sally Jennings, and a letter from Kyra Blank, and we'll all be provided to you in the case.
Would you like
that?
That would be helpful.
The list?
Sure. There's actually two lists there. I don't know. Some folks sign up on one and some on the other.
What's the city council?
Well, we'll start with the short list first.
I think that was the first one that
I read. I think, Mr. Chair, you may see the names wrong, both of them. We recirculated
the
second list.
Hopefully I can read, if I call you twice, Jim, you don't get to test me twice. All right, again, ask the people limit their comments to 3 minutes. We've got a lot of people that want to address us, and ask you to respect the 3-minute time limit so that everybody gets an equal opportunity to speak. And I'll ask Public Information Officer Casey to keep track, and again ask you to respect that 3-minute time limit so we can get a signal to wrap your comments up. Well, that will start out with Todd. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you. Todd Bilder, Oregon State University. I run the 4-H Youth Development Program here in Lincoln County. I won't bore the commissioners with the importance that I see. I think that's well known, running the 4-H Youth Development Program. However, there are two comments that I think have not been stated enough, and I just want to restate those briefly. The first is there seems to be a misnomer with the fairgrounds versus the Lincoln County Commons. And I think it's important that we understand that about 2 years ago, under the direction of Mr. Geltner, we went through a rebranding and a new vision of the Lincoln County Commons to create not a fairgrounds that has the implied use of just a few weeks a year, but a county commons that would include multi-use structures that would be good as a gathering place for the community and have the ability to be used throughout the year. And I think quite often, especially in our last visioning committee meeting, we heard a lot of comment about the fairgrounds and how it's not feasible. And I think when we use the words fairgrounds, it really does us an injustice for what the new vision of the Lincoln County Commons is. So whether it is people supporting the redevelopment or opposing the redevelopment, I hope you will join me in correcting that vision to be the Lincoln County Commons that is indeed a gathering spot that can be used throughout the year. That's an important distinction to make as we move forward. My second comment comes from a conversation that I had with Mr. Jerry Barrett after our last visioning committee meeting. Mr. Barrett reached out to me and wanted to talk about our mutual interests, and we certainly have some. We shared a cup of coffee and we had about an hour-long discussion, and I stated to him that I didn't see why affordable housing and redevelopment of the county commons needed to be opposing views. They are both good for the community. They're good for what we do. And I think we need to find ways to support both of those as well as other interests that are for the good of the community. I pledged my support to Mr. Barrett, conditionally stating that if affordable housing would go through the steps that I believe that the Fair Board and the Visioning Committee has done or is doing, namely identify a site, work out a budget, and figure out financing, that I would wholeheartedly support the plan of affordable housing. Likely not on this site, but I certainly agree that provided steps are met, as we've done for the county commons, that's a worthwhile endeavor and something that I could certainly get behind. So to have two groups that are opposing one another, or more so affordable housing that seemingly is opposing the Fairgrounds redevelopment or the Lincoln County Commons redevelopment, just seems at odds to me, and I hope we can find ways to be mutually supportive rather than opposing one another. With that, I'm also carrying a few letters that came in to me, and I will just yield the balance of my time and give those to Mr. Belmont. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And next, Richard O'Hearn, and I see Daisy's name here too.
Yes.
So far we've crossed off six people, I guess, three times two. Go ahead.
Daisy, go ahead and start.
Hi, I'm Daisy O'Hearn, and I've done 4-H for 8 years. And I use the Commons at least once a week. And we use it for archery and we use it for educational things. I'm going to have an educational land camp there soon. And we use it for public people use it for their horses and after school programs. And I was a little confused about where the 4-H would aspect would go into this because it didn't seem very covered.
I think with that, I'll take some of her time if she's getting a grant to do me. But as a volunteer, or my volunteer opportunities, I'm a 4-H leader as well as my wife Tracy. So we spend a lot of our free time giving back and helping the kids out, because this is our product here. If we can help the kids, the youth, or the grow something that's desirable or something that's genuine or maybe right, instead of being into the jail system, I think that's the direction that 4-H has been since 1902. So my volunteer opportunities are I'm at the fairgrounds every week, usually 2 to 3 hours a week, and then sometimes two times a week, and then we meet our club there. We have all kinds of events, and so the fair, when they say that it's 3 days a year, that's a false statement. That's incorrect. I mean, there's something going on every week, multiple times a week, and I just think that I also don't want to be on the other side of workforce housing or whatever type of housing. I don't want to oppose it, because I also am on the board of Samaritan House, and so I support their efforts and helping people transition out of that cycle and out of poverty and to be a better citizen or whatever that looks like. So I think it's important to restate that again with the renaming and the visioning committee of the Commons, to have something that everybody can participate, use, the dollars that are coming, those TLT monies, are from the hotels, and why not have some kind of a destination? Why not have some kind of an opportunity, which the folks that came from the engineer or the group that showed and shared there a moment ago, that would be new money coming into the county. That would be new opportunities, people that would be here or residents, and I think it's a win-win. And again, I don't want to oppose housing. But I think we need to make sure that the last 10 or 12 years doesn't go by the wayside of the planning and all the efforts of the folks that have been here and worked and done what they've done. And to have people come at the last minute and to say, no, we need to derail that or do something else. I'm not saying against housing, but I think that would be an unfair situation or unfair series of events.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Daisy. All right, so next person I have to know well since he lives across the street. Bill? Oh, you're behind me.
I am. I'm supporting you from behind. So, my name is Cowboy Bill Rindle, and I don't know why. I just don't know why that is, but it's easier to remember that way, and I want to thank the commissioners and the chair here tonight, and the fair board members, and all the folks here with me who are volunteering their time tonight. That's key in who I am and what I'm doing here in Lincoln County. I do not work for money in public. I volunteer in public, and I have since I got here. And when I'm talking about the fair and all those kinds of things, which is near and dear to my heart, many may have seen me at the stage, the main stage last year and the year before, and may have heard me in the announcer's eagle's nest during the various bull ridings and at the monster truck and mud bog and super truck show we had last year. And so I get to volunteer there for all of us and myself. I enjoy it. I like to bring a different face to Lincoln County in some ways. I am a professional horseman, and I rodeoed for the National Police Rodeo. I worked on Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman on and off for 7 years, and was sworn as a patrolman in state, federal, and county parks for 19 years. And so I carry my volunteerism seriously, and it's a lifelong event. When I talk about the county fair, I always have to acknowledge the fair savers, which are the county commissioners have saved the fair all these years. The county board, fair board members have saved the fair all these years, and therefore saving the commons for what it's going to be in the future here now. But I also have to acknowledge the fair keepers who put their houses up to make sure that the fair could run, and the fact that they were in jeopardy, they wanted to volunteer, they were good, wonderful county members. And so I must acknowledge Deb Jones, Todd Butterfield, and Becky Goulet. Now, when I say they put up their houses, anybody that steps up as a director can be personally sued. A lot of things happen at a fair, as we know, so we want to acknowledge our history here and thank them. The Goulet family, the Butterfield family, and Deb Jones and her family. And I think Deb is here tonight. Thank you, Deb. Now, when I met Deb, I came in as a toter and a hauler of bags of trash and a grinder on the rodeo fence. I had some experience with rodeo, had steel work experience, had heavy construction experience. I was there working on that, doing that, real happy. Been there about 4 years, coming up 5 years now, and I get to work with Todd and the 4-H crew now. And we put on a real good bull riding the first year. We put on an okay show the second year. It included a youth rodeo, so it gave us some more depth, showed us what could be there. But we moved away from that to bring in, among other things and other reasons, to bring in a local crowd. We brought in some of the greatest truck guys and some of the most fun show. Did anybody here see the monster truck show last year?
3 minutes.
Because if you didn't, you missed it, and I'm out of time. And we're working on something even better this year, and we can guarantee that that's going to be going. I'm working on it now. I'm spending about 30 days a year on this deal, and we're going to actually be able to improve the bucking chutes. Looks like we're going to be able to move them and guarantee that they're going to be all brand new and fixed prep and brought in here. But we know that could be good. Thank you, and go Lincoln County.
Thank you, Bill.
Great.
All right, now we're to the longer list. The first person is Kim Herring, and we know Kim well. So.
I didn't have to take notes for this meeting. Put my readers on and use my notes. Kim Herring, resident of Lincoln County. I'm here this evening to voice my concerns about the plan for the Lincoln County Commons. The county spent a lot of time and money trying to come up with the plans for the redevelopment of the fairgrounds, which is now called the Commons. I'm not against the county having grounds available for the Lincoln County Fair. I'm not anti-fair. I grew up in county fairs all over the state of Oregon. As a child, I belong to 4-H, so those programs have a very special place in my heart, and I want to see that they have a continued home in Lincoln County. I also know that we have a housing crisis in this county. Affordable housing has different meanings depending on your income. What's affordable to me may not be affordable to someone else. Is the property located on Harney a suitable place for affordable housing, and what are the obstacles of that possibility? In my research, I have not found that the citizens of the county got to vote on what to do with the property in Newport. The voters did approve an increase in the transient room tax to assist with the operations of the facility, whatever that facility may be. I'm not sure if the citizens fully understood what the cost of the new facility was going to be and how the construction was going to be funded. I believe that the citizens should get a voice and decide what to do with the property. I know the county has done and is doing outreach in the community to get input on a new facility, but up to this point, I believe the participation has been limited. Again, I'm not anti-fair. I just want the citizens to speak up, have an opportunity for their opinions to be heard. I appreciate this evening's turnout. It's probably the best that I've seen in the 6 years that I've been in the county. So I applaud the community for showing up and the commissioners and the fair board for listening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Next, Carl.
Harry. My name is Carla Perry. I live in Lincoln County. And as a member of the Lincoln County Master Plan Visioning Committee, I have several concerns. One, I'm wondering what role and purpose we serve as committee members. We have no assignments, we have no tasks other than to provide opinions at the meetings. However, unless we are in lockstep with the plan, our feedback is not integrated in the planning process or reflected in the master plan document that you have seen tonight. If members of the Master Plan Visioning Committee have no function other than to state our favorite of three layout options, then I recommend that the committee be disbanded, as our participation is a sham and a waste of our time. Two, meeting minutes are not posted on the county's website. Minutes of the January meeting were prepared and included in the March 22nd meeting packet, but appear nowhere else. No minutes of the March 22nd meeting are available at all. The lack of minutes means that none of the public comments are captured in document form. My concern is that public comments, which have been overwhelmingly opposed to an exhibit hall at the fairgrounds and in favor of building affordable workforce housing, are being dismissed as irrelevant. I request that the minutes of all our committee meetings, including all oral public comments, be posted on the county's website in the same detail as the January minutes. Three, if tonight's presentation from 3J in the county was to inform the public outside of Newport about the master plan, why were no press releases sent out inviting people to attend? It wasn't even included in the list of meetings in today's News Times. Four, the vision and mission statement says the focus of the redevelopment of this land will be on youth, yet the word youth never appears in the document anywhere else, and that goal has been overlooked in favor of catering to tourists. There isn't even enough space for a ball field in the design options presented tonight. Also, I noted that in the description of the staffing, there is no director position. So at any level, I think a director for this facility would be required, and it's not reflected in the costs. I suggest that the county take its financial losses, the many hundreds of thousands of dollars already paid to the four rounds of consultants, and turn its attention to a better use of the fairgrounds property. Stop the idea to construct an exhibit hall, move the fair and 4-H to a more appropriate location, start a discussion with the Lincoln County School District about the high school's need for expansion, support existing event spaces and meeting rooms throughout the county, open the door to the concept of developing high-density affordable workforce housing, meaning apartments, on the current fairgrounds property, continue to call it the Commons if you need to, but actually create a community, a new neighborhood. County commissioners, you have a decision to make. Either put the people of this county in debt building something we do not need and you know we'll lose money forever, or leave a magnificent legacy as the three commissioners who voted to take the first concrete steps in solving the affordable workforce housing crisis in Lincoln County. Thank you.
Next, Cheryl Collins. You know Cheryl?
Good evening. My name is Cheryl Collins. I'm a 40-year resident of Newport, a current member of the City of Newport Ad Hoc Committee on Vacation Rental Dwellings, and the former County Health and Human Services Director. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I was not able to attend the March 22nd meeting, so instead, I submitted a written statement in opposition to the proposed Lincoln County Commons Development Plan, which I believe was made part of the public record. Tonight, in the interest of time, I will share the portion about the use of this property for workforce housing that are in my previously submitted statement. And here it is. As Commissioner Hall has repeatedly voiced, and more businesses, civic leaders, social services, and the general public have recognized in the past 4 to 5 years, workforce housing in Newport and in Lincoln County in general is a well-articulated and huge unmet need, which is projected only to get worse. The effects of this lack of workforce housing are well documented on how this hampers economic development. It is not too late for the board to show their stated commitment to employment growth, fiscal responsibility, and transparency by taking these two simple yet courageous steps. Number one, stop this relentless drive to approve and move forward with this consultant's recommendations to build the new Fairgrounds County Commons. Number two, take a leadership role with private and public partners to plan and develop high-density workforce housing on the current Fairground County Commons property. And I would like to add to that, three, given that there is a need for 4-H and other kind of youth activity like that, look at securing another property for use of Fairgrounds and County Commons. I believe in the last 14 years, there may have been other opportunities that have come forward that just need a bit more investigation to determine. So with that, I conclude my comments. Thank you.
Next, Deborah, and I'm sorry, I can't read the last name.
Yeah, thanks.
I'm sorry.
So I'm going to be brief, but first I want to scan the crowd here and just see how few or how many. So I know quite a few of these people from various things. So I just came because I, too, missed the meeting in March. And I am one of the few people in this room, along with Frank Geltner, Bill Hall, and probably Wayne Belmont, who have been on this journey now for about 10 years. And I wish you all could have come and ridden in the train. I have been to every community in this county for community input at least 4 times. You all could have come 4 times. We went to Toledo, Walport, Lincoln City. We didn't come to Depot Bay and Newport. We had stakeholder meetings. At least 2 or 3 times. We went to Yahats, right? Mm-hmm. We had stakeholder meetings at least 3 times with chambers of commerce, business people, the school district, 4-H. The list goes on and on. The information they presented to you tonight, to my surprise, is repetitious of what I saw when I stopped doing the fair 5 years ago. There's no new data that they presented that they did not present 5 years ago. Where were you then? Now, on the other hand, I also work for a housing authority, and I can't speak for them, but I am more aware of the housing crisis because I live it every single day. I work with people who struggle to find a place to live. But our information shares with us that the majority of the people, at least we serve, which I consider the underserved population, the shortage in affordable housing, and affordable being HUD's term, not comparable to your present income, exists in the one-bedroom units. There are simply not enough units in existence in this county. They weren't built. Units that were built affordable years ago were built for families. And currently, I can just tell you that the Housing Authority's waiting list for two-bedroom and three-bedroom units in public housing is quite low, and we're accepting applications like by the gangbusters, please, because we want all the units filled when they come available. But moreover, I want to really share a public and a democratic process which has gone on for 10 years. And I think that there is an appreciation for being in America and having an opportunity to step up and say what you feel and what you need when you need to say it and at a time. And I could go back, and I will say this. You're going to get ticked, you commissioners. There was a time I would have never given a block of that land to Harney Street, and yet probably all of you drive it. And had I been at that meeting, the city would have never got that street. Had there been a chance in a previous meeting to not give away property or sell property or pay debt to the county for where county offices sit, they would not sit anywhere near the fairgrounds' previous property. All of that land was donated by family pioneers of Lincoln County, primarily that was rural Newport, and then they gave it to the city, and that property was dedicated to the purpose of exactly what we're talking about, a gathering place.
3 minutes, Deborah.
Pardon?
You're over 3 minutes.
I'm done?
Finish
okay. Up. Anyway, so the only one more thing I want to say is, where were you when they tore down all the housing down in Night Beach when they built the PAC? Our memories are relevant to the time and the space in which we live, and we need to respect that. We need to be appropriate. We need to jump when we need to jump, but there are places to jump. And there are people building affordable housing, by the way.
All right.
Just not quick enough.
Moving on, next is Carol Zakin.
Name's
on the list.
Oh, you don't have to speak. You can pass.
If you don't want to speak, you don't have to.
It's
going to get shorter. Yes. No, your name's on the list, but if you don't wish to address us, that's fine.
I thought that was a sign.
Well, you're dealing time.
Not a sign.
No, we're not dealing time. All right, next is William Zakin.
She just signed me in.
Okay.
Fast.
So we go for three in a row. Cassandra Lemire?
Speaker. All right. I don't think we need a lot of them.
Hi, my name is Cassandra Lamerton. I'm a resident with my family of Lincoln County. And I was a 4-H member in Cleveland, Ohio, from 8 to 18 until I went to college. So 4-H is near and dear to my heart and my family's heart. We moved here 5 years ago, and as we were, so that's where I was 5 years ago, I wasn't here, but when we were deciding whether we were going to move to Lincoln County or not, one of the things we looked at was what were the parks and rec system, what were the green space already in Newport, and I was extremely surprised, and it was one of our deciding factors that I saw that the Lincoln County Fairgrounds was right in downtown, and that made me feel like I knew this community value, what a fairgrounds can do for a community. So I just wanted to share that. I wish there was better opportunities for affordable housing, but I think once you take away this space, it will never come back, and you're gonna lose a lot of opportunities in our county. So I support a gathering place being used for its current use, and all this stuff that was presented today, I think I wish I had more input in, or I would love to do more input, but I think
that is it.
Thank you.
Next, Brady Seibert.
Oh, pass.
Okay.
Beth Doherty.
My name is Bethany Doherty, and I'm a member of 4-H. My daughters have been in 4-H now for about 4 years, so we're kind of just getting started in it. So we're just, as we get more and more into it, there are so many learning opportunities in 4-H. It's a wonderful program. My daughter goes to the fairground every week, shoots archery. We've been to many meetings there. We hold community service events there. Meals on Wheels, we provide centerpieces every year. There's a lot of community that this commons brings together, not just at the fair time. And I believe that someone had said something about building a larger facility would bring in more business-type people to the community, as opposed to maybe tourists. And I just kind of wanted to point out that, you know, maybe that would be true. Maybe they come in for a weekend, but they look around in our town and go, wow, this would be a great place to bring my family to vacation. And so, or people would maybe come into our fairgrounds, and this would be a great place to move. I've been thinking about and anyways, this is a great opportunity to better what we already have. Just from a personal standpoint, my daughter, she wanted to write a little note. She couldn't be here tonight, she has school tomorrow. she just wanted to know why we would get rid of something that could benefit the whole community, bringing people together, as opposed to just a few. And that was her question. And also she brought up the point that if there is no fair, she would not be able to go to State Fair. And one of our greatest joys was going to State Fair last year and seeing things that she had made and put time and effort into at a State Fair competition. So, just kind of from a personal standpoint, it means a lot to us to have those facilities available, and so we can grow our 4-H program and bring in more events that we travel out of county for to go to, animal shows and things like that, that we could have people coming in, and then they would be using the facilities, tourism again, bringing people into the area, seeing what a wonderful place it is. And there is need for housing here, yes, but I think we can maybe find some other ways to take care of that, other ways that are discussed, some tonight. And also I feel like if we get rid of what's there now, what, you know, what are we going to do in the meantime? So, thank you.
Thank you. Next, Elizabeth Boland.
I'm Elizabeth Boland, and I am a transplant. I am from Zurich. I am 4-H alumni. The one thing about improving our fairgrounds, from the county that I was in, they have a huge county fair, and it benefits the whole county by having a large fairgrounds because of all the different things that the fairgrounds can be used from. And if we improve our fairgrounds here, it will trickle out to the whole community. It will not just benefit 4-H, it will trickle down to everybody. And, you know, it gives more opportunities, more revenue, for which can be turned over to use in other projects. It'll help small businesses. People will come from out of other counties to visit our county to do stuff in our county and spend money in our county, which can trickle down to all other avenues in the community. And it's good public use to bring in other stuff. And I just think that improving the fairgrounds will help our community a lot. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you. And now I'll pick Kazmir.
commissioners and fair board members. Thank you very much for taking my comment. And I did want to begin by a broad agreement with all of you who are 4-H lovers and a belief in the fairground and what the fairgrounds could do and have done, and a future commons might do for bringing us all together, serving multi-purposes. However, tonight I do come down with Carla Perry and gang in terms of saying that I think we're getting ahead of ourselves with the idea of focusing on developing a commons and a fairgrounds and a convention center before we really look to taking care of our own. I crafted a bit of a letter here, and I'll try to get through it, and now at this point, 2 minutes or less. Again, my name is Penelope Kazmarek. I used to be Penny Outerkirk, still is in a way. And save for a bit of wandering, Lincoln County's been my home for 63 years. A decade or five ago, I had a horse named CB that I used to keep at the fairgrounds, where I was a member of one of the robust 4-H groups there. I was the cross-eyed kid who loped her lazy horse around the barrels, invariably to come in last, play my part in helping other more gifted equestrians attain their gold and purple ribbons. At that time, the fairgrounds is a big, rambling, homey sort of a place where kids, moms, and dads mix it up with all manner of four-legged creatures to work toward meaningful goals, share picnics and ideas, learn practical things such as how to worm a goat, make a pie, or a lasting friendship. It was, yes indeed, it was a commons, if you will, a place for the county residents, mostly on a shoestring and mostly without drugs and alcohol, came together to reap the rewards of laying aside differences to dodge trouble, do good, and have a whole lot of fun. It was Lincoln County Mental Health Department before there was one. And I'd wager if there had been a way to measure its direct and its indirect healthcare benefit costs, we'd be putting our heads together tonight to think of ways of recreating some of those same conditions there today. But please bear with me while I download a few hard, non-alternative facts you may already know. I ask you to keep them in heart and mind as I continue. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, at present, the median wage for a single worker in the U.S. is about $44,000 a year. In 2016, the median household income in Lincoln County was about $41,000 a year. For families with kids, rather counterintuitively, it was about $39,500. Last year, the annual income for a full-time minimum wage earner in the United States was $15,080. Annual income. Nearly 20% of Lincoln County residents are living below poverty level. Kids and grandkids, no less deserving than yours and mine, living below poverty level. Malnourished and without proper shelter. Okay, it's not news that tourism is Lincoln County's crown jewel. Our motels, restaurants, recreation, and retail shops have combined to outpace fishing and logging as our premier non-governmental sources of revenue. For a moment, putting aside the magnificence of the natural environment here, which is about impossible even for a moment to do, we can see that these worthy and attractive establishments and services are what people remember and enjoy when they visit this place we call home. Nonetheless, our healthcare systems here in Lincoln County, primarily, particularly public health, along with the justice system, which tends to take care of these lower income people, are stressed to the max with a capital M. We've got way, way more need than we have the resources to take care of these people. Way, way more need. Now for a pop quiz. Who are the people proportionately most responsible for keeping Lincoln County's tourist industry afloat? A, business owners. B, wealthy donors. C, the Koch brothers. D, Lincoln County residents living near or below poverty level. Well, if you guess D, you guessed right. The population proportionately most responsible for tending to the economic viability of our county are the very same people living here near or below poverty level. Folks who, while earning but half of what our government estimates is necessary to support sufficient life, may not have split personalities, but they are definitely leading double lives. Working in our restaurants and on our fish plants and motels, battling the hardships of inadequate housing and health care, along with inadequate housing and health care's first cousins, depression, addiction, and deaths by a thousand cuts, legal problems stemming from scarcity.
Pen, you're at 5 minutes.
My clients are undoubtedly weary of my plagiarizing the FAA's instructions to jet plane passengers for the application of air masks. I tell it to my clients all the time. Secure your own masks before you're helping others. Take care of your own first. Martin Luther King claimed life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? Mother Teresa, if you can't feed 100 people, feed just one. Well, here's what I say. Lincoln County, secure your own mask first before seeing to the masks of economically secure non-resident convention goers. And in the spirit of Martin Luther King, Mother Teresa, and the Lincoln County Fairgrounds of yesteryear, do for others by creating a safe, attractive, affordable place for folks to live, for 100 folks or more.
Can you please wrap it up?
Yep.
Way over time.
Right, and for Lincoln County's 100 or more of all important but underprivileged citizens. Thank you, and my apologies for my
verbosity. Equal opportunity.
Yes, you bet.
Next, Sally Rose.
Evening, gentlemen. My name is Sally Rose. Just a little bit about me before I start. I'm an almost lifelong resident of Lincoln County. I grew up in Toledo, went to Toledo Public Schools, had many different jobs in Lincoln County, participated in 4-H as a kid. I've always loved the fair as a kid and as an adult. Had to leave the county for several years recently for work, but I'm very grateful that I got to return to home in September. During all those years, I maintained my residence here in South Beach. I did submit a letter for the March 22nd meeting, which I was unable to attend, so I'm going to rely on that to augment my comments tonight and just add a few little things here. We don't need an event center. We have so many venues in this county. I don't mean just Newport, but in the entirety of Lincoln County, there are indoor and outdoor venues, public and private, of all sizes. And there was nothing mentioned in the presentation by the consultants earlier this evening that attracted me about an even larger facility, especially when the size and the purpose, as described earlier this evening, is so nebulous. What I have always loved about the county fair is really everything about it. I love the 4-H, I love seeing my friends, I love seeing all the exhibits. The only thing I've never liked about the fair since I was in fifth grade on is it's cold, it's windy, it's foggy. It's not a fun place to be in New York, in Newport, at the county fair, to be outside. Toledo or Sillette's would be way better venues for a fair. So if we're looking at what are we going to do about a county fairgrounds, we should be looking elsewhere. That then opens up the facility here, now referred to as the Commons, for a variety of uses. We don't need an event center. We can't afford an event center. Mr. Hunt already said that we would have to subsidize its operation year to year. Going to have to float a bond to pay for the darn thing. But what we do need is housing. We have so many people who live in this county who do the hard work day to day to support the tourists and the fishing industry who don't make enough money to live in reasonable facilities for themselves and their families. The location in Newport, in the middle of Newport, is great. The size is good, and you can walk to almost everything you need from there. And if you can't walk to where you need to get, you can walk to a bus stop to get you what you need to get. It's an ideal location. Whereas East County is a way better location for a fair and associated facilities. And there are people in East County who go to the fair and participate in 4-H and other activities throughout the year who would continue to do so in East County without having drive to Newport all the time to do that. So to make the points, we don't need an event center. We can't afford an event center. What we need is housing for people, and now we've got a great location for housing. We should, starting tonight, get rid of this idea about an event center at the Commons. Stop throwing good money after bad. Turn that money into looking at what we can do at that site that includes housing and youth activities. And move ahead at some, for something that's going to benefit everybody. Thank you.
Now, Bud Schumann.
I thought it was a sign-in sheet too, but I didn't know. Not
at all.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
There are only three after you, but you're still going to hold you to 3 minutes.
And you're all my friends too, you know, so. But, you know, I'm from Lincoln County, live out in Logsdon, and I've attended the fair all my growing up years, you know. And some of you already heard my story at the fair board meeting that I attended, but I had two brothers, and we went to the county fair, and we got three rings for 50 cents, and each of my brothers got a ring, and myself. And my middle brother, Perry, and there were geese behind the counter, and you'd throw over the ring over the live geese. I go to jail for it now. my middle brother, Perry, the surfer of the group, he got the ring over the goose and took it home. But the next year, he brought it back to the fair and had a blue ribbon. And so that was a fair story. But, you know, I living here this long, you look back at the historical perspective, and what got the event center in trouble last time were the hotel room people, and because they do the same thing, not on a giant scale, but they opposed it. And so you've got that. And it's kind of extraordinary that we're in Depot Bay here, because Depot Bay is a huge contributor to the funding, because they're unincorporated, I believe, if I'm right. They are incorporated. Okay, so I'm all well on that one. But I love the county fair, and I support the kids and what that means. But I think the event center is where you guys are getting the heat, and I'll leave it at that. And I work in Toledo, but we don't want an event center there. Thank you.
All right, next, Bill Dalby.
Dalby.
Dalby?
Yeah.
I better clean my glasses.
Sorry about my hand.
Oh, no.
I didn't have a prepared statement, so I'll just sort of wing it for a few minutes. I'm Bill Dalby. I live in Toledo. I was appointed to the Toledo City Council last fall, and I am a strong housing advocate. I'm currently working with the Toledo City Council to do everything and anything we possibly can to foster housing in our community, and taking the broader view within the larger community of Lincoln County on a strong housing advocate. I also support the county fair. I, like probably most of us, went to the county fair as a kid and as an adult, and I think it's a wonderful thing, and it's an important thing to have, and 4-H as well. I do not support the idea of the event center. I think, I have to agree with Bud, that you're taking some heat on that, and I think it needs to be reconsidered. A couple of weeks ago, the Toledo City Council had a work session. We had our annual goal planning session. And Mr. Barrett here came and took a few minutes of the public comment time that we always afford our citizens to talk about the possibility of citing the county fair and 4-H facility in Toledo. He'd come and looked at a property that the city owns, the Toledo Industrial Park, which is a 5-acre parcel, right on Depot Street. practically adjoining Memorial Field, which is also owned by the city, another large parcel of land. And both of those parcels of land are close to Waterfront Park, which is part of the park property. Mr. Barrett came to our council and said he thought this would be an ideal site for the Lincoln County Fair. And as Sally Rose pointed out, the weather was a whole lot better than the summertime. And I couldn't help but think to myself, as I heard people talking about the economic benefits, that those economic benefits would not get to our neck of the woods, nor would they to a lot of Lincoln County. So this might be, if you, the council and the commissioners and the fair board reconsider this idea, and I personally agree that the idea of affordable housing in the Lincoln County commons are not necessarily mutually exclusive. It seems like you could work out some kind of arrangement where you could have both there, and part of that plan might be to site the fair somewhere else, East County, as Sally Rose suggested. So I can't speak for the Toledo City Council at this point. I raised this issue last night at our work session. And I'm here to say that I believe that if a proposal were made to the City Council, that we would listen to it. And that's my opinion. I didn't get any strong objections from the rest of the council when I told them I was going to come and say that here. There would be an awful lot to talk about if it came to that point, but I just want to put out there that that's a possibility. And I thank you for your time.
June Rushing.
Hi. So I too am unprepared, other than to say that I love the fair. I'm a musician. I play at the fair every year. But I'm in agreement that the weather isn't really conducive to bringing people. I notice that every year there's less and less people at the fair. So moving it east to a warmer climate is really a brilliant idea. Thank you, Sally Rose. I'm also for 4-H, absolutely. But my concern is I have numerous friends who just within the last couple of years have been unable to find affordable housing. These are hardworking people. A lot of them are single. They haven't been able to find a place to live. They're couch surfing, and frequently they'll leave the area. And I know that it's really difficult to find good, hardworking people that will stay here. And that's been my experience working in the business field as well. There seems to be a lot of migratory people who don't stay because they can't afford to live here. And it's very unfortunate to see friends leaving town, to see good workers, to see service industry people have to leave because they don't have anywhere they can stay that's affordable. And I'm not really even speaking specifically about HUD housing. I'm just talking about something that someone who's making minimum wage can live in an apartment and continue to do their job and continue to work in the community. That's my contribution. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Last, Jerry.
Good evening. My name is Jerry Barrett. I'm living in Newport. I have a brief statement, a few questions to ask, and then also a brief announcement. I'll try to do it within the time frame. Those of us who've been advocating for alternative use for the fairground have been criticized a number of times tonight and other times in the last few weeks about being late to the party. Why haven't you been here before? And voiced your opinions. Well, the main reason is we haven't seen any numbers on this project until March 22nd. That's the first look at any meaningful numbers, even though they're estimates. And to see this plan being presented and continue to be presented at this date, losing money every year, has caused concern for some of us, coupled with the fact that affordable housing, affordable workforce housing, has turned into such a critical issue in this county. And combining the two, it seems to us that it's worth having a conversation about this property in that context. So, a couple of questions. Mr. Hunt, I have one for you, and I understand you have a long career in banking. I had a long career as a general contractor and developer. And in the course of my business, I was a party to a lot of loans over the years. And I'm just asking you as a banker, if I came to you with a proposal to borrow millions of dollars with the understanding that it's never going to pay for itself, would you give me the loan?
Lots of bonds are sold publicly that fund these type of activities.
But would you have given me the
loan? Except the bonds, okay. Bonds sell easily.
Okay. All right. I've got a couple questions for the consultants as well. One is, and I don't know that you're going to know the answers, but I would appreciate a response in a timely way. How many parking places are generally can you fit into an acre? Do you know that off the top of your head?
No, off the top of my head, depends on how they're laid out.
Isn't that really something to be discussed as you look at the development of the site? It was indicated.
I understand. I'm just asking the question. What sort of rule of thumb? How many parking places can get an acre land? The issue of stormwater on your, you were talking just about catch basins and whatnot. I'm wondering if y'all have explored the option of low intensity development techniques to handle the stormwater.
We aren't that far along.
I'm sorry?
We aren't that far along. We're just looking at 10,000 foot level.
Is that something you're going to consider?
We've had engineers already looking at the infrastructure that's there and
okay.
Making recommendations.
Okay. When you mentioned small, medium, and large events, how many people did you anticipate coming to each one of those?
I'd have to check back in with Echo Northwest on the number of participants. We can do that for you.
Okay. And finally, correct me if I'm wrong, but as I looked at your slides showing your projected budgets and whatnot, I never saw a line item for operational costs.
Yeah, we had part of the presentation was on operational costs.
Yeah, so those numbers you had tonight are will obviously change because the operational costs have to be added in.
They're there.
We presented operational costs tonight.
That was the first slide.
Okay. Yeah. You're 4 minutes, Jerry.
Yeah.
Okay. And finally, just the announcement. There's tomorrow at 3:00 at the City Council Chambers in Newport is a housing meeting where two or three CEOs of the largest employers in the county are going to be speaking on the issue of affordable workforce housing and the impact it has on their businesses. I think it'd be wonderful to see everybody here come to hear what these real life situations are.
I'll see you there.
Great. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
Hey, Doug. Yes, my wife had signed up on the alternate sheet, and so she might have just put her last name, but she thought that she had a reserved spot to speak. Is that over on there?
Come on down.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. I don't really prepare anything. It'll be very quick. I just wanted to say that I obviously do support the redevelopment of the commons, and I'm concerned that the people who are wanting the housing or who are talking about housing and urging you to reconsider allowing this development to go through, aren't
they keep saying the fair, and we, 4-H, but other entities, use the fairgrounds now on a weekly basis, and it's concerning to me that they aren't thinking about where we are going to be, you know, where the farmer's market is going to be, where, you know, archery that meets their weekly would be, and so I think it's, they're discounting the current fairgrounds. I know the buildings are dilapidated, and I know we, you know, they could be better, but if you take that away from this community, you are taking something away that we, you know, that we haven't even talked about yet. So just wanted to throw that out there, that it's not just a fair of that 3 days that will be displaced if we decided this didn't go through. I think the commons and what they're developing, they're going to allow the fair to be there, and it's going to be great, but it's also going to continue to be what it is right now, which is our community meeting place. For, you know, boosters, fundraisers, there's a lot of things that we do there. So I just wanted to highlight that when you're thinking about this, and I don't really prepare anything. So that's it. Thank you. Thank you.
Anyone else who hasn't testified or commented? All right. Lots of good information. I think a lot of people have commented how long the process is. I've heard the comments about the lack of transparency, but. Certainly the reason it's taken so long is we've made as great an effort as we possibly can to hear as many voices, to consider all the alternatives, and the process continues. And I know there will be master plan meetings, there'll be third board meetings, so again, we're still in the process.
And they mentioned the three public meetings coming up later in the spring.
Yeah, which will be publicized.
And I believe we did send out an announcement to the media about tonight's meeting, but if they chose not to run it, that was their choice.
What? The meeting is here. Where's Beasley's going?
It's still
All right. So thank you all. Back to our agenda. I guess, commissioners, any reports?
No, I'm going to pass.
Okay, I'll also pass. We have no executive session. Next meeting of the Board of Commissioners will be Wednesday, April 18th at 9:30 a.m. in the Board of Commissioners Meeting Room 108 in the courthouse. We are adjourned.